They won't look the same. They're all my pals. Cheers, Joe.
And obviously, we're not alone. We've got a man in the middle here, another Chris, Mr. Chris Duncan. How's it going?
All right. Good, mate. Good.
Chris, you've just been getting yourself sorted. Obviously, we know Chris Bungard signed with Bellator.
Yeah.
Bellator have recently came to you and acquired you.
Yeah.
Just tell us a wee bit about what you've gone on with Bellator.
I was just I'd actually booked my flights. I was going to go over to SPG and train, and I was got a phone call from my manager, and he says, "Do you want a fight in Bellator against Sam Slater from SPG?" So I was like, immediately cancelled my Airbnb, cancelled my flights and all that. I was like, obviously I'll take the fight. So you got to snoop these opportunities up, eh? So
Everton was booked to go to SPG then?
It was
just
going
to
leave in like 3 days, and then I just cancelled it all. Just, I'll get training elsewhere, it doesn't really matter, eh? I put the hours in anyway, so cancelled. And then went down to London and trained with some of the boys down there, trained at Titan Fighter. Get sparring there Tuesday, so I'll go there this Tuesday. I went on Monday, just past there. I leave at like 4 in the morning, get there for the 10 o'clock wrestling, and then come back on the Tuesday night. It's a first stunt, like.
That's smart.
So they're in the same gym. It's just going to happen. At the end of the day, they're both going to meet in the middle, and that's it.
It's business, it's an opportunity, isn't it? It's Bellator.
Definitely. I'm not letting that slip in my hands, eh?
Aye. So, of course.
The mammy and issue would have been the weight, but I'll step back. I'm a fat pie, like.
No, that's good. Chris, you're obviously just back for SPG as well. So how long were you?
I was just there for 5 days.
So just are you planning to go back out again, or?
No, until my fight, no. Too much things coming up. See,
if I've got like my meal prep, I'm sitting in the gym eating my meal prep, and then somebody comes up, "Oh, that looks good. Your diet must be brilliant." I'm like, get your safety. Fuck, it's just.
I reckon I would guess yours the biggest thing you'll miss, because you seem to have a good bit of a sweet tooth. I reckon do you sit and torture yourself on, because I've constantly seen these things on the tasty pages and that, and it's like burgers wrapped in bacon and that. Do you torture yourself with that? It's like, right, I'm not watching porn because I'm weight cutting, I'm watching this guy cook stuff.
I just think like I'm going to take a suit and Terry Brazier. He's taking my pizza off of me, my cheesecake. I'm going to fuck him up. I mean, that's the way I think.
You've been
my food away from me.
You've been having a bit of back and forth, a bit of fun. I've got the best thing that obviously I listened to your interview in the Martial Arts podcast, and you referred to, I can't remember his name, Arn's opponent. What was it? He'll be in America fighting his uncle's halfway semis.
Guys from Tennessee without any social media, though. What is he actually doing out there? Like, chewing straw and stuff like that? But I don't know, man. I think I might go into that cunt. Let's focus on the Wang guy. I'm trying to focus on Terry, and you get all these other wee fucking Joe the Shore bitches just putting their wee input in, but they're forgetting. I'll see them face to face, so they're forgetting. Like, I'm on the type of guys, got to say, we'll just forget what you caught me on Twitter, you know what I mean? But unfortunately, he's got to get slapped.
I'm looking forward to that press conference. It'll be. It's got to be fireworks.
Beat Terry, then I'll jump out of the cage and just Khabib the fucking full jaw the short cast. Even the lassies, anybody that's in striking range, kidding on. Before somebody starts vlogging that, man.
1 mil in it. Got the keys on you and that.
Pick up Scotty T and start hitting them all. Anyway.
Aye. What about you, Chris? Do you ever kind of feel like getting, because obviously you're quite vocal and you like to.
He was getting a bit back and forth with Alan and off.
I initially saw that.
You know, it's just the guy's coming into our world, and why is he coming into our world? He's not done the training. I bet if we got our hands on him, we'd just mash him into the ground. It's just no.
Doesn't belong here, man.
No, he does not. No, it's just because he's a good asset to the business. So, like we say, it's just like he's gonna have to face his fears eventually and fight somebody that's got a bit of juice in them, you know, getting about it. But that day will come, and then that'll be him. He'll be CM Punk, he'll be away.
Yeah, back into that shite programme, stalking our wee lassies. Fucking giving him lines of cocaine.
Proper predator.
Prowling fucking his wee pedo pal.
So I take it you weren't a fan of George the Shore before then?
I hated it, man. I've never actually watched it, but
You see them when they were all bouncing about and that, they were like fighting and then they come back in with their kebabs and they're bouncing about in the living room. Like, try to fight each other. You're like, oh.
Chris, is this you admitting to watching it, believe me? What's that?
I watched it all the time.
I was quite happy when I seen Bellator had came to you. So obviously, I think you've said in the past you think he's got a bright future. Obviously, he's talented. Yeah. So it was good to see you getting brought in with Bellator. When did you sort of get the inkling that you were going to get a fight with Bellator?
Well,
when did
my manager? He was just saying, hold off. I was pressing him. I was wanting to fight. I just thought, when did I fight last? I can't remember. November or whatever. And I was trying to get a fight again. And I was just trying to go on like that Celtic Gladiator and all that, trying to get a fight, because I was wanting to get 4-0 by the end of the year. And he's like, just chill. He says, I've got stuff in the pipeline. He says, just chill out. And then he said to me, he's like, right, here we go, I've got you one. And I had faith in him. Like, he just said, wait your turn. Yeah, so it's good fighting the Scottish shows and that, but it's just, you got to snoop up that.
Is it kind of then, obviously I'm speaking from the outside looking in, this will apply to both of you, is it, when you make a step into somewhere like Bellator and getting an opportunity there, is it just kind of showing you progression in the career? And especially, obviously there's massive financial implications, because let's be honest, the regional shows can't afford to pay big money for guys, whereas Bellator have obviously got crazy cash behind them.
Yeah. Oh, aye, definitely. It's just that it's like people are noticing you, and people are seeing all your hard work, and that's probably my main thing, you know. Like, I've always said before, like, I like to work up the ranks, and I don't take nothing for free, you know. So,
for those that don't know, Chris was your 9-1 amateur, was it?
I think it was 9-1 or 10-1. On my topology, but it was, I was 12 fights in total, and I'd only lost one. But
And plus, he's 4-0 as a professional, isn't it?
Aye, it's had a good wee run, so. Like. The only guy I lost to was £180. It was a guy, Jack Pierce, I think his name was. I took that fight, and one of my boys didn't turn up to the weigh-in. And I just said to him, we'll fight. You know what I mean? Because just.
Done that before. Love it.
Actually, see, when you're saying that, just can I quickly ask Bae for you something? Because I was talking to somebody about this the other day. See, on the regional scene, when you get that, you've put all that work into a fight camp, right? And you're getting up to it. Then you go and you weigh in, but your opponent weighs in heavy. Are you stuck in a catch-22 with that? Where, like, it's either you just say no and don't take the fight, and then you don't get anything for the work you've put in, or you're almost forced to then fight a guy that's heavy. Because I know that's happened to you.
It's never happened to me, but like my guy didn't turn up one time, and you put that much into it, it means that, I wouldn't have started this if it was for money, do you know what I mean? Like, you're in there to fight. I don't know why I was dragged towards the fighting side of things, but when the boy didn't turn up and his boy didn't turn up, and I knew he was 2 weight categories above me, he's a middleweight, I was like, we'll just fight, you know, we've done this training, you know, I like to test myself, and I had done it, and he just lay on top of me, and I just didn't know jiu-jitsu, and I did K1 for 4 or 5 years, and then that was just a wee wake up call. It's perfect. So I'm glad I took it. It wasn't a mistake.
I think some people didn't need to, because you knew I would have took the fight. But I think when it comes to Bellator, like, even my coach would probably be like, no, that guy's cutting the weight, make him cut the weight.
Aye, you would think as well. I would imagine anyway. Being a promotion like Bellator, it's just shut. It's not going to fly anyway. Bellator are just going to say to guys, look, we can't hear.
Well, they take 20% of your purse, don't they?
They take 20% of your purse, but I think potentially as well, there's a lot of talent about as well now. So. I think it would be, guys would potentially be jeopardising their career.
Oh,
especially if they come in with something like stupid for no reason, like a really, like you're saying, 4 or 5 kilos, that's way too much.
Even £3 is too much. Aye. You know what I mean? That's a kilo.
Don't get me wrong, like, we've been there, like, cutting weight is hard. when you hit a wall a bit, don't fight that weight category. Don't fucking fight then, like,
start early.
Get a different sport, like, they're always got to be tough, so I think everybody should always make weight. If you sign up to a fight, your first thing is make weight. Then
the first thing in the contract is the weight thing. That's the weight. That's stood right at the top. So if you can't make the weight, don't sign the contract.
See, before you get into a camp for a fight, what worries you is more? Is it the weight cut that worries you more, or the actual fight itself?
No,
worry in the sense that you'll not make it, just the thought of it and the dreading.
I'm like...
The last couple of days.
Timescale. I'm like, right there, I've got it all written down. I know exactly what I need to do. And if I'm in that timescale, I'm good to go. But just you're just like it's just a job to do, you know, a task, right. And you just get it done. But it's still shite. Oh.
I think that the more you do it, like you get into a process. Your mm-hmm. your body knows what to do. You know when to do it and what day to do it. And the more you do it, the better you get it. The better you get it. More times you cut to 155, the more you nail it. So aye. it's an experience thing as well. As long as you're doing it right, refueling, rehydrating properly, and you should be good to go.
It's good to all that safe MMA stuff as well, because they'll look after you too. They'll make sure you're not cutting too much weight, and do the hydration test now.
I don't know. No, I think really the hydration test is just one that they do that. I know some of the stuff we say for MMA. I know Cage Warriors use them a lot. And is this the first time for you two both been involved with Safe MMA?
For me. I've been gave bloods and that, but this is the first time for brain scans and stuff, MRIs. I think this is fairly new, isn't it? Like a year or two.
Aye, because I think Cage Warriors use them a lot. I know there's been different things with Safe MMA, because I know some fighters have been done the MRI. I can't even mind his name. Maybe Frankie can find it. He actually got pulled for a card down in Wales. I think it was Jack Shorzard. It was one of his fighters got pulled for the cards because they fund something.
Your dad's or something, didn't he?
Paul McBain got something with his scan, didn't he? How did his fight put off, I think. It was like to do with like grey matter in his head or something like that. I think, or I don't know. Just,
See, you're just right. Obviously, first and foremost, you don't want to get in there being dodgy.
No. You got to look after your safety and that, eh? But,
it makes the sport look better as well, because you know you got all these. You got all folk that are from outside the sport looking in, calling it.
Aye.
You know what I mean? Like it's a bit brutal. And in senses, it is brutal, but at the same time, it is an art form as well, parts of it. All the parts, it's a biting and mouthpiece and going for it.
Aye, definitely. It's the first sport in the world, the gladiators used to do it. Is it pancreation stuff?
If you think at the start as well, it's two guys in there and a woman in the middle. And that's usually how most fights started back then.
It's just real life, man. Like, you ever been out on a night out and a crazy guy starts out in a nightclub or starts out in the street, just starts swinging? That's real life, you know what I mean? But you actually got to do in that situation. Aye. You got to be like 80% of the people and shy away from that and run, or maybe get your phone out and shit yourself.
Or driving. Where
the fighters will step in or the fighters will react to it, you know what I mean?
You mind seeing that video, Roger Huerta, maybe mispronouncing his name, he was in the UFC. You mind the guy, the big massive dude hits a woman, he gets the top off and absolutely lays this guy out. And he's obviously no massive himself, but he takes the guy out. It was
definitely
it definitely works. You need to, I suppose, for you as well, even when you're driving home for a podcast and somebody's trying to ram you off the road.
3 years ago I got fucking done with assault. Some boy punched me from in my motor. I was driving down the road and just like when going over this bridge, I drove that road bloody for 7 years of my life, and there was a dog. I like animals, and I've been brought up in farms and stuff like that, and there was a dog on the road, so I stopped, and then I kind of put my head out the window. I said, there's another dog, because he was flapping, he was in the middle of the road, and then it's nothing to do with the dog, and he came up, and I went down my window, and he smacked me from the motor. So I opened the door, and I ended up choking him out against the bridge, and he was like, snoring against the bridge, he was like, and I was like, you done? And he started grabbing me and trying to pick me up over the bridge and that. And so I choked him out again, and then I got an assault charge.
Fuck's sake.
It's mental that you
just lobbed him out of the bridge, man. Jumped to your
I was hanging half over the bridge, and I had on a hold his puffer jacket, and I said to him, if you throw me in, you're coming with me.
Mummy tell you a story about me chunking a junkie on a bridge.
Definitely.
All good stories start.
So when I was younger, I was a bit of a pain in the ass, so I got some community service, and we were doing this wee, it's like a country park, just here, whatever the fuck it was, and I'm sitting in the back of this bus with these four guys, right, no one tooth between them. I looked like them the day, I looked like them, and like they jump into the shop and they get fucking a Milky Bar, kid, see, take your time for off. I had these junkie bars, so it's better than what you think about it. Turn round, and the two of them, sitting trying to smoke crack in the back of this bus. So I was just like, so I just open the side of the bus, go round their side, and just yank the wee fucking rat out. And when I've yanked him out, there's a wee stream bridge, just a wee wind bridge. It wasn't a high bridge, it was a wee one. Whoop! Just loved him right on the bridge.
I crotched him over.
And I just laughed at the guy driving the bus. I'm like, I'm not getting back in that fucking bus, and I just started walking.
So, fuck it, man.
Make me fucking breathe that shit in.
Aye, definitely. Fuck it.
It seems like the appropriate response.
Aye. It was like, see, sometimes you give like somebody a heavy or a what or something. Aye,
a punty.
Just didn't know what was happening. Probably still buzzed off the crack, I can't. That's my junkie story.
Well, I think you maybe, I don't think there's many folk.
You choked a guy in the bridge and I took one out of it,
Unfortunately, I've always been quite well behaved. Nothing's happened. Oh, no. I'm still pending on the ones.
James is under the bridge. Who's had some trapping over my bridge?
see, something I wanted to mention as well. You've got probably one of, I don't know if it's not weird, it's just an interesting backstory. I've never heard another fighter that has done what you've done. You were talking about being in New Zealand, shearing sheep and that.
Aye.
So, but I think we've got...
New Zealand?
Aye, New Zealand.
And so you've got, the only guy that springs to mind with me is that guy that was in the Ultimate Fighter who done the llama. I thought he was hilarious.
Did he not get a shot in the UFC? I'm sure he did.
He walked out in a llama.
I was like, what?
You're thinking one of Bellator will let me bring one of these sheep. I liked him, man.
No,
he was good. That's quite a jump in it, shearing sheep day.
I know, I just done that. Well, what it was just when I was younger, I was just like needing beer money. So I was just went up to the local farmer and he was friends with the family. And I just started working with him and enjoyed it. It's quite a rush, like, because the cattle and that, some of them are pretty wild, so you do get quite a rush from it. And then I obviously became self-employed and started shearing sheep and went to New Zealand and did loads of other stuff. I was actually on One Man and His Dog in that day, you know, so I was whistling away that.
I'm not going to lie, I've watched that, it's fucking hilarious.
It's brilliant. My grand, like, see her at Christmas time and all that, she's like, cracks at the DVD, and I'm like, oh, fuck. My girlfriend, she's like, oh, Larry, I'll need to watch this. I'm like, whistling with my Scotland top on. Don't get me wrong, I think the farming, like, helped me with my work ethic and all that, and getting up early, but it was good. I wouldn't change it, like, it was... It's a great lifestyle, but it was a lifestyle. It's not a job.
Was it a shift? Was it a graft?
Oh, definitely. Don't get me wrong. Like, you get your easy days in that too, but manual labour's just no.
Obviously, I've sparred with you. You're a strong guy. You get a lot of that through your farming, or
probably. Just manual labour. Definitely.
You get that? You hear that about like Mark Hughes? It's that farm boy strength and that, innit? Just like that built-in strength.
Yeah. So I was down in London training. One of the boys down there was like, "What weight do you fight at?" I was like, "Lightweight," and he was like, he's like, "You Scottish boys," and he's like, "What do you work as?" I was like, "I used to be a farmer," and he's like, "Scottish farmer, fucking hell."
So how did you end up in New Zealand then? How'd that happen?
What happens is kind of seasonal, so like in Scotland obviously summer, kind of May time and that, you shear sheep there, and met a couple of Kiwis and they're like, "Come over and shear," and I went over and just shore sheep over there.
Cool.
It was brilliant. It was really good.
Do you never try? The minute you're saying that, I'm thinking, I wonder if the sheep are requesting like skin fades or anything like that.
So, why are sheep like spray painted in that?
It's called a keel mark. So, it'll mark out a heft or a certain type of sheep. So, like, it'll be like a young sheep, like a gimmer, or it'll be like a tup, or that's a male, or whatever. So, that sometimes a different keel mark is easy to spot in the hill. So if the guy's got binoculars, he'll be like, "That's a red, that's from that heft, or that's a blue one, that's from that heft. We don't need to take that one." So it's
You learn something every day in the Bad Part podcast. Tune in every week.
Have we told you?
I didn't know that, man.
I know.
It could be like kind of low and stuff. It would be like red could be twins, like they could have twins inside them, or blue can be like a single. So they get looked after differently. So like, twins will need more food than
blah blah blah.
So there's a bit to it then.
Aye.
It's not just diving about cutting
there. Diving about in a quad bike wagon. Slow
down, you bastard.
I have mad experiences in the farm.
What's this craziest thing that's happened to you in a farm?
I got a bit of wire through like the actual side of my foot, like it went through that way. So I was like, I didn't have a picture of it, but it actually went through the side of my foot and came out the other side of the foot, so I had like a, like...
How did it get through it?
I was holding two gates, and my boss at the time was like, "Let that one through," so I let it through, and there was a concrete floor, and they'd tried to reinforce it themselves with wire, and obviously when the bucket of the tractor was scraping it up, it flicked the wire up. So when I slid my foot along, it just went through my welly and went right through the side. Okay. And I got stuck. And I went a bit dizzy and that. I was like, whoa. And I was like, Dave, I was like, you need to help me. He's like, hold on a minute. I'm writing something down. And I was like, the old boy, William, I said to him, I was like, come over. And he was like, looked at my foot. And he was like, you're needing to go to the hospital. And then I had to clip it off. I had to cut it off from the floor.
Put something still on you?
I was right through me. It was like a bit like, say that was my foot there. And it went right the way through.
Did they cut both ends and leave the bit in the middle?
No, they cut one end because obviously the other end was the pointy bit. Cut it. And then when, because it was high tensile wire, it sprung and started shaking.
Oh,
I was like,
Jesus.
And then, so we ended up going, I only fit in the motor of the footwell, like it was like sticking out like both ends like that. And we were going round roundabouts and that, it was like poking and sliding through and all that. I was like, And then some woman booted it in the hospital. I was like shouting at her and all that. And then the boy put this blanket over the top of my foot. He's like, I'll put this over so people don't come up and look at it and all that. I was like, I need a ball. And he's like, carted me through. And then he's like, move your foot to the side so you don't hit it off the wall, son. So I moved my foot over to the side and then it kind of like folded over the blanket. And then he went to lift the blanket off and just lifted it and the wire went. I was like, ah. That was it.
So it was out, but
Jesus, that was a horrible pain.
That sounds
like
fucking horrible.
So there you go, kids. Sheep shearing, it's not for the faint hearted.
Stay in school.
Stay in school. Don't cut sheep's hair.
Man, oh man.
Who would you actually, Bungie, I was meant to ask you as well. See, when you tell us a wee bit about it, you were obviously out in the SBG. Who were you? You were then obviously around with Peter Queeley. Yeah. Who else were you training with out there?
I was training with Kiefer Crosby, Pascu. These guys are obviously in Bellator. Pascu's got a fight coming up in Connecticut in Bellator. He's fighting, is it Stanley, the undefeated wrestler? He's like 9-0. I think it's a tough fight. But Pascu's like been wrestling since he's 7. I think he's like 40 now. He's from Romania. He's an absolute animal. His legs are like tree trunks, just a wrestling beast. So he just fought Larkin in his last fight. Who else was I training with? All of them. Steve Owens, Richie Smillen, obviously I sparred with Peter Queeley yesterday. Sergey Pulski, my wrestling coach. Just solid sessions, just hard sessions. Sessions you need to put yourself in for, like putting yourself in bad positions and uncomfortable situations to improve your game, I mean. So
did they think you were big time in coming up with your film crew and all that?
I know, I think that made it worse with my father Peter, man.
Did they say anything giving you feared with your film crew and that?
No, but obviously we covered it with John and that first. I showed up, we're like, oh, fucking brought all these guys, that all right? But so he just gave us a time slot that would be good for filming. Sergey, we filmed at his wrestling gym. He was spot on, he let us do whatever we want. And then obviously I sparred with Peter on the Wednesday, but it wasn't a planned spar. Peter just texted me the night before, like, what, a spar tomorrow? And they were already coming in anyway, so they just filmed it, but it made it like more of a fight. Already is a fight when you spar over there, like three fives with John reffing it. You warm up your sail and you go in the cage, nothing but like your fight gear on, and then you've got this camera in your face and all at the fight, so it looks like a real actual fight getting filmed. So I put a wee bit more pressure on it, a wee bit more intensity, but Peter's an animal. He's an absolute beast. He's been fighting in Russia and South Africa for years, beating the top guys. So, yeah, he's a good pressure fighter as well, Peter. Hits like a fucking truck as well. It's like your man beside me. So, it's exactly what I need if I'm fighting Terry. Terry brings the pressure. Peter brings the pressure, but be much better striking than Terry. Terry's not got striking at all, to be fair. But he's got that wrestling pressure, that wrestling style grinding. So it's exactly the rounds I need it.
It's good simulation too.
Yeah, simple as that.
Nervous energy is a big part of it. I'm all about trying to calm myself down, and that is that would be great for a fight. Good fight simulator. Try to, like, obviously you walk out in the cage and that.
And there was a class that only at one. Like John's class is at one, and so we spar at 20-1. So it's like 3-5. So everybody's on the mat ready to spar. Like ready to do the class, so they go around the cage and watch it. So you've got like an audience basically, the fighters. So puts a wee bit more pressure. It's hot in the gym. It's just like you've only got your fight shorts and your gloves on. It's just like a real fight. And Peter puts the pressure on, so it was good, man. It was good. Enjoyed it.
It rounds like striking. He's a great striker, right?
Yeah.
Great striker.
But I felt the first one, it cracked me. Where I was just like, All right, okay, right off the bat, here we go. It's got to be a good 15 minutes, but no, Peter's a savage, but he's a good guy, and you know, all, like, gave us tips at the end. We spoke about, like, where I'm good and where I can beat Terry and stuff like that, so that's what you're looking for.
Peter obviously knows you need that as well, yeah. So he's...
Don't get me wrong, Peter's focused, like, he's got a big fight in the same show as Chris. He's fighting Miles Price, so... who trained at SBG, then went to AKA with Khabib and done a big interview, like, kind of slating the full team. So that's kind of a grudge match here for, like, gyms and, like, him just, like, talking about his countrymen and stuff like that. So Peter's focused. I could tell him walking about the gym. He's ready to make a statement, and, like, I felt it. I know he's got to beat this guy.
So if Miles Price then for that, for what I'd read a bit about the Miles Price stuff, so it's almost like he's coming back in as a... He's coming back into hostile territory then.
See, like, I don't mind. They went to AK to train, right? Fair dues, man. That's brilliant. But he put an interview and then he starts talking about other spars with Conor. His spars would be like, you don't do that shit, man.
Aye.
You don't do that, man. Like, whatever happens in the gym. But so he's come out and said that. They're the old teammates. Then he's putting up pictures with Khabib, like, you've got this, bro, against Conor when they used to train. It's just like, it's a bit of a weasel, to be fair. So I hope Peter smashes him. I think he will. Peter's he's one of the best lightweights in the world right now. His last fight, he beat the top Russian, who has had 30 fights and never been finished, and he knocks him out in the first.
The Russians and Dagestani, there's something in the water, isn't there?
Yeah.
there is definitely something in the water.
They had to get escorted out of the cage after it, because they just started attacking the cage and throwing everything. So I was happy for Peter that night. he fights... All across the world, but he fights the tough guys. He got a bit of stick about no finishing fights and that, but he was always constantly fighting the tough guys in their hometown. When a lot of people wouldn't do that, so to finish that guy, it was cool to see that.
Says a lot when they're willing to travel and get into enemy territory constantly against the top guys.
Cause especially it's going over Russia and all that. Was it in Russia?
Aye.
See, that's like... need to knock the boy out in Russia. I mean, like, the judges are going to be Russian. Mind
Maldonado, and so much as I loved watching Fedor, and I like looking at his old fights. Maldonado trying him up in that fight. How do you go? Come on, you fuck, man.
Did they not get returned though, Fedor? Like, eventually,
the Russians are like, you know what, we can't even be that shady. Fuck me. Vladimir Putin's like, you're making us look bad. We've already been done for all that drug test and stuff. Let's get this sorted out, man. Icarus is coming out soon.
They've just put a hit list on you. Putin's going to be at your door.
Just overturn it, but kill all the cunts.
I would like to fight in Russia, actually. I think it would be cool, but I wouldn't like to fight a Russian in Russia.
When I was in Thailand, all the Russians, man, they're all sound.
Aye, until you get a fight with them.
They're all sound until you spar with them, man. Aye. They kind of take you down, then they don't like you. You know what I mean? Like, I wrestled with some of them, man. Like, their wrestling's absolutely amazing. Like, there was one guy I was wrestling with. He was in M1. He's a middleweight. But, man, he was smooth. Like, he was smooth. And he was like, well, how long have you been wrestling? He's like, since this book.
Aye.
Aye, they were really good, like, really good. See, when
you're getting the rounds like that, but is that just does it kind of highlight areas you think, like, that is some money to... That is money to just... bring the level up on a wee bit.
There's always stuff I'm trying to tune up, but definitely. Robert Wayford's helping me out in my wrestling and that, man. That's been the last 3 years I've been working on that, man. I was always a striker, eh? And it's just my, like, if you're going up in levels like that, you know, like, my striking was here and my wrestling was away down here, and it's kinda leveled out, and then my wrestling got a wee bit better than my striking. It's just you're gonna have to work on wee areas here and there to just get it better, you know.
I suppose that's how everybody goes. You kind of always hear that one area that you feel really comfortable and strong in.
Yeah.
And I suppose as you start moving up your career, that's when you need to start addressing the other bits. Is that sort of what you felt as well, Bobby?
Aye. You always just need to drill. Even if you think my striking's coming up. Maybe you catch somebody in the training or you catch somebody in a fight. The bad thing is to think, oh, I'm a striker now.
I can land
because you'll get put in your ass, so... You just need to keep grounding, keep working everything, the same abilities, the wrestling, your striking, just work them all as hard as you can every week, man. Just
don't
want to
do a Damien Maia and just get away from your jiu-jitsu and start thinking you're a boxer, because it normally ends up not going well.
That happened to me. I was like, in my last fight with Niall, I was going to, I had that in my head that I was going to heat kick the heat right off him. And then he was like, pirouetted and smacked me that back fist, and then I was just like, alright, I need to take him down now.
How many times during camp do you say, no way that back fist has hit me?
Oh, probably about 1,000 times.
I think it's the way he throws it, man. I've been saying this to everybody, like, he disguises it so well and it's so quick, and it's just like, just
I actually heard the noise before I felt it.
I honestly felt like I felt like a bit of air left.
I shot
myself.
I shot
myself.
Just
the room went like, oh, fuck.
In the background, you see you going.
Because I'd fought him before you, and like, obviously, Stevie and Craig and that fought him, and he kept like, not the out yet. And I was like, this is always in my head. He's not landing this, landing it. And because I spoke about it so much, he didn't even throw it. And I threw one and I fell mass. So I was like to him, watch your back fist.
Man,
well, you recovered well.
That's his thing, man. It didn't rock me as such, but it definitely hit me hard. I was like, he just hit me. I remember looking at the vinyl on the floor, and he just hit me that back fist, innit? My coach is like that to me. He's like, fucking back fist, man. We went over it.
But, see, I kind of felt, I'd say to you, I felt like that fight, I felt that was a really good fight at the right time for you. Because for whatever you say about Niall, Niall's fought. He doesn't say naughty, he fights MD.
He's tough as shit.
He is tough. Aye. And as much as you probably didn't want to get hot with that back fist, I think it actually showed stuff in you as well. Showed one, you can take a good hit to the chin and then recover. And then you did look ferocious.
I liked the double leg after it, though. That's what I liked. I was more impressed.
I
like,
just heard my coach just like, shoot, shoot, shoot. And he's dropped your level, and I just dropped my level, pipped him up. And I was just biding my time, just picking my shots and that. I always try and land big shots, that's my thing. I want to try and get it over and done with it. I don't get paid for overtime, so I was wanting them out nice and quick.
Because I get Aaron Loach there, because I saw the first couple, and then you got one that went through clean and caught him, and I was like,
I didn't think it like that one. It was the one before that I hit him with, I thought it was a hard one, and he didn't really move. And then I hit him with that one, and it was felt like my arm was like just went right through him.
It's just the way I don't know if it's maybe the angle I was looking at, but
I just seen his heel being like a fucking bobblehead, man. I'm like, oh, this is over.
Fist, man. Did you fist.
Had you trapped the horn? No, or was it just?
No, I just controlling just sitting in half guard and just went for
he's
it.
Bombing.
I've been working on my ground game for a wee bit, man, and I never really had confidence in my ground game, but I do feel it's good. Like as it is, man, it's MMA, so you've got to be good everywhere, and that was a good fight for me. He was 14 fights or whatever, and I was 3-0, so I was gonna win regardless in my eyes. But like, he thought I was maybe going to be a walkover because I'm just new at the game, but I'm hungry. It was a great fight for me, but a terrible fight for him. I don't really know why he took it, but
I just don't think he'll fight. I just for what I see for him, he'll just fight MD now. It seems that way anyway.
I like that though. I like that.
He's great. He's a sound guy. So was his missus and that too. Yeah, they were all
Leanne.
Yeah. So yeah, I was grateful he took the fight. Like, it was just the right time for me.
No one to Bellator. That's what you want.
Oh, aye, definitely.
That big ring walk, mate. A big ramp.
13,000 folk. That'd be brilliant.
You'll be all right, mate.
I love that stuff, man. I thrive in that. I thrive in under pressure. And
is that one of the things, what you can train for every situation? You just can't. That's the one thing you can't train for, isn't it? That walkout, can't? Or is there just isn't a weightiest?
Nah.
Well, it depends what your mental state is. Mm-hmm. If you fear a crowd, or it can amp you up a bit, or if you've got a big crowd that can spur you on, it all depends. Like, if you're fearful of a crowd, then you're in the wrong game if you want to fight in the big arenas and stuff like that, you know what I mean?
Nah.
But some people can shut that out until they get to the cage and just like zone in, two in there. But I love the crowd, I love it. I can play with it, I play against it. I come for the wrestling days, you know what I mean? Pro wrestling, where the bad guys need to shout at the crowd and stuff. I like it. I like getting booed.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to, because I'm going to his hometown, so it's going to be good shutting them all up.
You're definitely getting booed.
100%. But that happened to me once when I was in Edinburgh, I was like, took a last minute fight, and they're all booing me when I came out, and it was just good to, just feels really good, really good. I'm looking forward to that feeling again,
just a wee bit bigger than the Edinburgh stage, right enough.
Aye. Pull a couple of pink glasses, getting knocked out of the way.
Only if you win at the end.
Aye.
That's when it'll come. But no, it's I'm looking forward to fights. I think it's got to be. I don't know what you think. Ireland, I don't think so. Got in Newcastle. We've got actually Leanne C. Niall. Yeah, she's got to be in Ireland.
Oh yeah, right.
So, but I reckon 2019's got to be. I think 2018. I don't know what you think for Scottish MMA. I think 2018 was a good year.
Oh, I definitely.
Seems to be we're just progressing nicely along, and then obviously I think 2019's potentially another big one. I think we're going to see loads of guys signing across different
promotions. Scotland's going to be putting them out very soon.
And obviously Big Paul. What is it with undefeated fighters? I'm not going to try and pronounce the guy's name.
Just call him Kennedy because that's his first name.
Aye, that's a bit easier.
I seen that. I thought it was a spelling error or something. It's pretty mental, eh?
I think it's another guy for the Contender Series. Paul's got in Philadelphia. Looks like a good striker, right enough, but I don't think his ground game's up too much, so... Hopefully we'll go out and get that win. I'm going to run up the rocky stairs in Philadelphia.
Oh, that'd be brilliant, man.
Yeah, a Philly cheesesteak and get steaming. Because I've missed the last twice. He's been in America, so I'm definitely going to go to this one. It'll be after my fight as well, so...
This must be one of the things we're fighting as well. See that bit of travelling you can get?
Yeah.
I mean, that is going to be one of the big benefits of being a fighter when you can get to travel to Philadelphia and places like that.
Well, Paul's had Vegas, California, Australia, London, Glasgow, New Philadelphia. So I'm a guy that loves travelling as well. I don't go back to the same place. So obviously I'm only in Newcastle, but hopefully the next plans that I need to jump in a plane, man. My mates are choking to jump in a plane to see me. But I just goes to show you fighting as well. You can see the world through mixed martial arts as well. Not just for fighting, but you can go anywhere and train as well, which is...
Aye.
You can walk into any gym in the world.
See, I think that's a side of MMA that doesn't get... Like, sometimes maybe outlets and media places that don't normally cover MMA will come in and cover negative stories, but what you don't get is that side of MMA, the community side of it, where you can travel and you can go into gyms where you don't know MD and you just tell them you're a fighter and they'll let you come in and let you train in that. I think that is a good side.
It's a way of life for everybody that does it. Aye. It's not just a hobby.
There's nothing that gains more respect than punching somebody in the face. It sounds a bit mental, but like, yeah, can I get like a friendship from like kind of earning the respect? It's mental. It's a weird thing. Like, it's weird. Like, fighting brings people together. Do you know what I mean? It sounds a bit mental. That does.
That is quite. That. If you tell somebody that in everyday life, how do you become pals? Oh, we don't fuck at each other every couple of weeks.
Aye, definitely. Concussion after concussion.
First time I met Chris, we weathered each other for 25 minutes. No joke, man.
I'm Chris.
So when did you first train together then?
It was for my first
debut.
It was good. Chris came through.
I was going to the Alps the next day and I was like fucking black and blue. Like, I was doing security in the Alps, French Alps, and there were just like people like. I knew why he fucked me because I was like, what? Like, this guy's obviously fighting all the time.
That's what everybody. I was in the Tesco's and they were getting some food and that before I came in here, and there was this guy looking at me, like turned back and that. I was like, what are you looking at? And he's like, you got black eye? And I was like, aye. He's talking to me for any reason.
See, I always think, it's the years sometimes that they give you.
He's like bogging and really.
He's fucked through fucking. Wednesday, man.
Chris, you're rocking
fuck
a bit.
Fuck's sake, there. Pedro.
That is a badge, isn't it?
Oh, aye, that is.
See, right inside, it looks like a cat's arsehole. fucking metal.
How did you get earphones in?
You didn't?
No, did you need to use the big ones? Is that how fighters have always got the big fuckers around them?
I was in Amsterdam, and I was going down the canal, and then all the folk like, and just put your earphones in, and I'm like, that. I'm like, what are they saying? Oh, it's a nightmare, man.
It's the joys. Frankie, we get anything coming in for us yet? So we'll get some questions in from Frankie.
Right, the first one, Christopher Andrew. He's saying, Chris, what's Sergey's new gym like?
Hold on, I got a picture of the boys. Sergey's new gym in SBGNS is... It's a great gym. Some setup. It's only started a couple of months ago, so it's got a big wrestling mat. It's the one where you see the tiger and the gorilla wrestling on the wall, painted that one. Then through the back, you've got like the McGregor fast program, all the strength and conditioning stuff, the ropes and stuff. But it's an amazing gym. If you're traveling or to train at SBG, I would definitely stop in there and get a good session in with Sergey. It's a half an hour away for the Dublin one, so yeah, definitely recommend it.
Yeah, quite good to get, easy to get to, eh?
It's no. It's no.
You need a chartered flight.
I had to get a lift for the person that I stayed with. I stayed in a B&B every time I go over there, and like, I kind of know the family now, so I just gave them some euros to drive me on, and I got a lift back.
I might rent a car if I go over there. Like,
that's what I would do, because there's tons of stuff you can do in Dublin, and if you had a car, like going to the sea, like I done today, like jumping the sea, stuff like that, and going runs in the mountains. It's good to have a wee car to get about, because you're all in like a half an hour, 40 minutes circle, but if it's no, the trams don't go that way, it's better to get a car.
Nice. Right, and Parik BA's asking, what do you think about Brad Pickett and Norman Park stepping into the world of bare knuckle boxing?
I think it's good for Brad. I think Brad's pretty much says that the MMA training obviously is a lot harder on the body with wrestling and stuff like that, and obviously Brad's getting a wee bit older, so maybe this time he just doesn't want to do that. And I think Brad's fighting style as well was always, he was predominantly more striking boxing, he's liked fighting that distance. Norman Park, I don't know, it depends who Norman's fighting. I don't really know. Norman seems to be a bit up and down, to be fair.
I think it was good. I was talking about it the other day, and he's saying that he's looking forward to it. And that it's just MMA, isn't it? It's MMA, but boxing, because you've got the hand wraps, and those UFC gloves, they're no for protect the other boy's face. That's to protect your hand.
100%.
He's just gonna get tucked into it. Brad's got plenty of heart, and he'll get.
Do you reckon a part of it is that you don't? Because any fighter I talk to, when you talk about training, the grind is the wrestling and stuff like that. That seems to be where the hardest bit in the body is. I don't know, yous obviously.
For me, wrestling's the hardest at all.
So I don't know if maybe that's what Brad's thinking, is he? But I'm assuming he's getting good money for it, and he's probably doesn't have to do any wrestling or anything like that.
You need to get good money like that. Bare knuckle, break your fucking horns, and you need to pay me a lot of money to do bare knuckle boxing.
A few MMA fighters have done it, Colin Fletcher as well. Yeah. I think he was somehow.
He's not right need, that's why.
He's like, hang out there. Like, coin hang.
Like, awkward bastard.
Aye. He's all the big fucking spaghetti arms, eh? It's
like one of the fucking blow up things outside a car dealership.
Ah, fucking hell.
Christy Keevan's watching for El Paso in Texas.
Who's that?
Christy Keevan.
Thanks for watching.
El Paso, Texas?
El Paso, Texas, international.
Funny enough, I had El Paso sauce earlier in my dinner.
Fuck off.
I swear to God, I didn't see the fajita mix. Your fajita mix is quite <anyway. laughs> just makes me think you're fighting uncles with semis.
Fuck's sake.
Right, and Peter Knox says you're better shagging sheep than shearing them.
Aye, well, he would know.
Done it. It's fine.
He's an Aberdeen fan, that's what he's saying.
There's something else. And it's MMA Scotland's comment saying, "Will Chris punch James?" You know who
what
that
what
is.
What did again? I say to you? Every fucking. Listen.
We should just hang like at the end there, like the guest that punches James in the gut.
Listen.
Take a body shot.
I'm not getting punched. I'm definitely not eating Jaffa cakes.
No, that's what I was going to say. We're doing the new thing, the Jaffa cake challenge. We didn't bring it for the night because you two have got fights coming up.
Come on.
I hate Jaffa cakes.
It's how many Jaffa cakes you can eat in a minute.
Or you could do the Jacob we need drink. One. You've got to eat as many as you can. We'll count them out. And then
what's that, the crackers?
You've got to eat them dry.
Same with Jaffa cakes, but I think...
Solid. Jaffa cakes would be easy, I think.
The world record's apparently only 17 in a minute. 17.
Is it? Fuck.
I'm smashing that. Few hungry bastards.
I'll tell you.
The cracker one, that's murder, man.
Aye, they're dry, but... Like, you're not allowed to drink either with the Jaffa cakes. You can't take any water or any.
I'll tell you what, we'll do a future episode when Bungie and Chris are on the cutting weight. If any of them can beat the world record eating Jaffa cakes, I'm still not eating Jaffa cakes.
But we've got fighters for England and all that are going to do it. So, we're going to get
fuck England
to charity.
Yes. I'll tell you what.
Fight, we'll do the Jaffa cake one on this show.
Well, see for Dana donation thing. Your t-shirt.
English ones will put up their fucking ass. Well, we'll see how much Jaffa cakes can get up their farter.
Aye, so you can do it for the thing we've got donations in.
Chris's house, right,
and we'll get a few fighters to do it.
Stop asking for me to get punched off every cunt, by the way. I need to work them more.
Right, 2 seconds. Nathaniel Marcel. Did one of you fight him?
I fought Nathaniel, but I don't know if it's Marcel. I don't know.
He said it's a pleasure to fight you. He's a bit of his gym in Portugal.
I think I've maybe
wrote
it.
It's
not, you did. It's
Guy
Forza.
You sure? I think that was his second name.
Nibble
on Nathaniel,
film.
My man. Take it easy.
Aye, it's Nathaniel Marcel Ferreira.
And somebody's asking, where can they watch the Bellator fights?
I reckon.
There's a press conference next week. Mm-hmm. In a Wednesday down in London, because they've just signed a new TV deal. So I don't actually know what channel it is, but hopefully it covers both of us. I think it'll be like Channel 5 or some shit.
Aye.
5 USA or I don't know.
So I'm going to make the main thing for this. This is my take on Bellator coming here. It's, see if the fights are on at a decent time. See if you guys can sit in the house on a Saturday night, watch Bellator at 9 o'clock at night till 11. Now, that's it at a reasonable time. They'll have to stay up to stupid o'clock.
Right.
I think that's where they're going to do very well in UK and Ireland.
I think the European scene now will be... all be the same channel and good times for everybody. Right, I think that's what it's got to be.
That's what we need, see some sort of cohesion, because it's obviously been the USC have dominated for years, but it's I personally cannot sit up to 4 or 5 in the morning anywhere and watch fights.
Oh, it's murder.
It's just, I can't.
If it's a good fight,
if it's a big fight and one I really want to see, I'll set my alarm for it.
What do you think about the Dillashaw stoppage? You think so? Yeah, I thought he went down like three times. Two or three times. You know what I mean?
I thought he got hot. It wasn't a massive strike. I've seen him. I think he's been hot with a lot harder. I don't know. I don't know how much the weight cut played on what he could take.
Oh, he looked like ET.
Aye.
Aye, that was a toughie. Like,
mm-hmm. Oh, I like Cejudo though. I do like Henry Cejudo, so I was happy that he won. But I don't know, I think you need to let it go a wee bit longer, but he was up and doing a few times with maybe the ref's like, right, he's been dropped a couple of times.
You can't see it for the ref's point of view, you just got to go with the flow. Yeah. Like, that's the ref's decisions at the end of the day.
See,
so
I'm coming for a fighter's point of view, so you're probably going to think, but I'm thinking to myself, does the referee, has he seen what the weight cut's been like for him? Is that in the back of the referee's mind? Because obviously, primarily the referee is Joe Breda. I would rather see a referee stop early than late.
Maybe 32 seconds. I didn't see that coming at all.
No, definitely.
Cerrone, how good is Cerrone?
How
can you not love Donald Cerrone?
There's a question here about that. I know.
Do you want to ask the question?
Since we're on it, he's saying, was that a warning to trash talkers?
No.
See if your thing's trash talking, go for it, man. Like, just do it. Like,
if you're good at it,
if that's your patter, like mostly Scottish folk can get good patter and all that. Eh? But like,
or bad patter, mind.
Like, it just depends on the individual. Like, one individual doesn't need to do what another individual does. You know what I mean? It's just if one individual likes to take the piss out of somebody, that's fine. But that's just not the way I go. Bunny likes it. who cares?
I liked when Cerrone says, "You're calling me a stepping stone, motherfucker. I'm a boulder in your way." I thought that was
fuck.
I think the thing is,
props to you, Donald. Props to you, my man.
I've got to remember as well. I think maybe folk look at remember when Cerrone fought Diaz and sort of. I think Diaz got in Cerrone's head a wee bit, but it took Cerrone a couple of minutes just to get warmed up. Then he took over that first round. But see the combinations he was throwing.
Yeah,
that was like a computer game.
He's slick.
They're all saying that he deserves a corner payday, and I like Cerrone's on a hefty wage. Mm. I think he's on like $400,000 a fight. He's had about 30 fights. He's had all the bonuses. He's loaded, man. That guy's packing.
He also spends like a fucking nutcase.
He does so do all the crazy shit, man.
See, more than the payday thing, I would just like to see Conor Cerrone fight.
I
like it as a fight.
I think it'd be entertaining, like the build up. But I think Conor would finish him.
Where I think. Where it can be Conor on that is Cerrone does get hit early. Yeah. I think Conor hitting Cerrone is a bit different to Hernandez hitting Cerrone, so that's there. But then obviously it depends if the fight goes long. Does it favour Cerrone? Yeah. I would like to see it.
Masvidal and Till kind of just put pressure on Cerrone and kind of just curled up a wee bit and folded. And we on
he's had that the stomach problem in that test, so you'll get like. Body kick to that, you know, that's always a target. You see him, what was that boy Alexander that got hit him, and you see him tuck up a wee bit.
Yeah.
You know, that's always going to play because he's a motorcycle crash, yeah.
Aye, and that's where Pettis Periscope as well.
Got my Switch kick, didn't I?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was lovely.
But I honestly, I don't know if, I don't think, I think Cerrone, I've never seen Cerrone look that much better than that. Aye. He looked, like, for folks saying he's an older fighter and that, he looked fucking good.
he's my favourite fighter, like, he's amazing.
See, it's his attitude and just the way he carries himself, it's just...
I like to be video done where he's like, people are like, you're right, he's like, no, fuck it, I'm ready to fight, I'm in this zone, I'm, get away from me, and no, I like that, because that is the real emotions of a fighter. Aye. It's no like, all these fighters sometimes hide behind it, I'm fine, I'm this and that, but really inside, that's what's going on in everybody's head.
That's the scary, it's the scariest thing I've ever done, like, I've done some mad shit, like, that. Aye. Fighting is like, on another par.
It must be like a just a pure emotional roller coaster, like up and down and...
Fight day is.
Aye.
I think when you're in the changing room, you're like, five up, then it's me, four up, then it's me, then you're like, three up, then you're like, right, it's you, it's go time. And you're standing behind the curtain, you're waiting on your music, they call your opponent, it's all these different emotions. You need a shit, you don't need a shit.
Oh, pish.
You're hot, you're no hot, it's time to go, you feel maybe a wee bit tired, and you've not even fought yet, so it's just all these different nerves come in. But
and you're walking up the stairs and you're feeling heavy legs, and you're like, fuck, I'm spending five rounds, yeah.
Is it like a pure internal dialogue you're having with yourself just right through it all?
It's madness, you can't, it's undescribable. You would need to be in that position to feel it yourself.
See, the best I've heard.
But we must like it, because we keep going back.
I know, it's some rush, like...
I loved that. You mind in the Tyson documentary when he describes walking out, and he's talking about he's scared. And then as he gets closer, he's starting to feel like a fucking animal. I love that.
My wee training partner Adam Batley, we always send that video to each other on the day.
That's one of the best things I've heard.
Tyson.
He's brilliant, eh?
He was on Joe Rogan the other day talking about his weed farm and that. That's fucking mental.
Aye, he's tiger and all that. Like, just jumping about in his boxes and a tiger.
Aye, what a fucking nutcase, man. No, jumping about. Just when you see Adam Bartley there, he's just been announced. He's fighting on top.
Yeah, he's up slick, soon. Man. I think we should give him the nickname Slick Rick, because he is slick. Like.
Is he no got one yet?
Nah, I think that's it now. I think I'm going to call him Slick Rick.
Andy. Slick Rick.
Andy in the bad
Adam Bartley, your nickname's coming.
Slick Rick, big man, Slick Rick. Aye, he's
did
slick,
he fight
man.
The last on top?
He did, he fuck, yeah, Kieran Reid.
Aye, I watched that.
Aye. So, he's a promising young amateur. Like, he's just working his way up, man. He's always getting better, too. He's always getting better.
Do you know
who's a good boy in your gym? I sparred one on Friday. Is it Ryan?
Yeah, right.
Oh, he's
young Ryan.
Daily, man. He's brilliant.
Young Ryan McFarlane. He's an absolute beast, man. Been one of my main training partners for this camp, but he's only had like two amateur fights, but young boy I know, but good hands, good strong young boy, so he's definitely one for the future.
I was surprised when I sparred him, like, I was like, fucking hell.
He's a handful for anybody.
Definitely.
Anything else coming in, Frankie?
I just expanded that comment for the, what's his name, Nathaniel. He actually he's asking you for a fighter rematch.
Is he? Is he really?
I only seen the first part. I expanded it.
Go and read it out. How's his
my team PRVT together with Jessica Andraj UFC are studying some proposals of some events, and one of these events was said Bellator. As I am in the category 66 kilos, I would like to ask regarding a rematch.
First of all, I'm a lightweight, I'm no 66, but if you want your ass handed to you again, Nathaniel, my man, step up, man, or stay on that side of the water.
Did he not miss weight? 70?
Aye, he missed it. But there was like, I fucking remember it was a mad snowstorm.
He did kind of get... Let's be honest with that. I heard he get shafted a wee bit, I think. In terms of getting picked up and all that, so...
Got picked up in fucking Manchester or England or some shit?
Nah, he had to... I think he stole... He was meant to fly direct, and then I think he was wanting to fly out early, but they said, no, we'll fly you out late, and then, I don't know.
Doesn't matter, he got his ass whooped, you'll get your ass whooped again, mate. Pipe down, man, don't come on my show fucking chatting your shit, my man. You want me to say that in Portuguese?
Yeah. Wait,
no, I'll get translated.
That was I.
Jamie Stevenson is asking, is Alex Salmon guilty or what?
What's that, man? Is he sniffing fucking bike seats or what?
I've saw some pictures of him in that. No, Dana and Roper, that, but some memes. You know what I mean? I've not got pictures of Alan Salmon on my phone. I don't know. I've just heard he's up for a rape charge or something like that.
Who's that?
Alex Hammond.
Aye.
Is it a rape one? Oh, right. I thought he was just smelling big seats. No. I'm still hanging about that fucking Bulbasaur fucking asking me for a rematch at featherweight there.
I've just got my pal text me, right? Scotty Drummond, he's going to UFC Prague, so he's cancelled his full holiday in Prague to come corner me and help me out at Bellator. So if anybody's want to buy his UFC tickets in Prague, give him a wee shout.
He commented on that.
Give him a holler. I was in Prague last week and it's fucking beautiful.
It's good. So if anybody wants to sell him, we'll do you a special deal.
But we're open to offers at the moment, so just put the offers in the comments and we'll get the tickets out to you. We'll try and get them in.
Christopher Andrews asking, where can you get a mug for Timpsons?
Where's my mug?
A mug on a mug. The mugs are not available yet. They're only for guests and stuff like that. You know, so we'll maybe sort something going forward.
Start them with competitions.
Aye. Start getting your competitions. Yes.
James, if he's providing the mugs.
No, I'm not.
These BBC money.
Let's just be honest. The BBC money's not that much. What can I say?
You're on the payroll, though.
They've got BBC money coming.
Aye, £67. Let's not get crazy here, mate. That's not good. You've got a BBC documentary crew. BBC sent me a screenshot of what they're paying you to let you film that.
We'll
look at doing something with mugs down the line. But we just thought we'd.
Speaking of mugs, Nathaniel, are you still there?
God's sake.
MMA Funny's asking, have you forgiven Tom Heffernan yet for his fuck up?
Oh, let's talk about that. What did Paul say?
Then he fuck up with me, you know what I mean? Put my beautiful face out there. He put a story in Daily Record that Paul's fighting Philadelphia, and it's just a picture of me like that, leaning against a goalpost.
How much did you win?
Paul's never looked so better, man. Paul's never looked better.
How much did you win Paul up with that one?
I've not actually seen him yet. I've been away, but I'll probably be raging. Don't worry, big man.
It's all right, Tom. It's only two fuck ups in about a week, so it's not too bad.
Big Heffy got me the Celtic gig on Saturday. I'm going on to Celtic Park at half time and make the windfall draw. Cheers to Big Heffy for that. So he redeemed himself. So I need to get suited.
To be fair, I don't think it's his fault. I think it's.
Right, no, he's blaming everybody else. It's all good, Heffy.
So we'll just see if we've got any more questions coming in.
Scott Drummond just gave you the.
Thumbs up.
That's fine.
I don't know. What would you call it? Okay.
Aye, okay, I guess. So one thing we've not spoken about is obviously Joanne Calderwood. She just recently fought in the UFC.
Doctor Evil.
What did you think of her performance? How did you?
Haven't watched the fight.
I was going to say something a bit better.
It's not like you.
Once I got the tissues away, I'm like, okay. Sorry, Joanne. No, I didn't actually see it, man.
No, the fight after you needed the woman's fight.
Oh, is it one?
Paige Van Zandt one.
No, Paige Van Zandt and Rachel Ostovich.
Who did Joanne win? Decision, wasn't
it? Aye, she.
Striker. Dominant there.
Aye, she dominated. She grappled. Really good grappling and that. She did look good. It was a good fight for her. Yeah. A good test, so.
Jojo, with a bit of she was cutting the old promos. Aye. I liked it. She says, what a better way to introduce her. UFC then knocking her out. I was like, oh, here we go.
It's what you need to do. Look, you need to. You need to pay a presence.
She used to say, like, you don't need to be allowed to be heard. And then she's saying, oh, I'm going to knock her out now. So I like it. I like it now. It's a heel turn, so to say, in pro wrestling.
I would say the MMA has changed in the sense you don't need to talk shit all the time, but you need to be good at self promotion. You need to put yourself out there.
Oh, it's Facebook and all that.
Social media is massive.
Aye.
A numbers game, but
like people want to see fight. That's the main thing. So if you're a boring bastard, nobody's wants to watch fight. Eh?
Correct.
See, when you've got fights you've got fights everywhere all the time. You need to be able to promote your own fights. You've got to get people interested, whether that be through shit talking or just how you are on social media. Everybody can do what's comfortable for them.
And performing that day as well.
Aye.
I mean, I had 120 folk come watch me at Headhunters. Aye. That was the most tickets I've ever sold in my life. And most of them all come, like, hats off to them. Like, all my pals, they're all brilliant. Like, mates Harry, Logan, and Scotty as well. He comes and corners me and makes the effort. We Adam Batley, they always come. And it's just
that's what you need, man.
You got these people behind you, they're always pushing you forward and that. And hats off to them, and like spending their money and travelling all the way down to Darlington and all that day. And
aye,
it's
when folk put that time in, is that sort of something we're going with a big show as well? Like, say a Bellator and that, does it take that see that ticket? Because you know, with regional shows, there is pressure to sell tickets, and because that's how the shows survive. So, does it take that sort of pressure off when you're going to a Bellator?
Aye, definitely. Like, all my pals and that were texting me, like, you've got tickets, and I was like, you need to get them online now. You know what I mean? Like my pal, Graham Beveridge, he's one of my training partners and that too. He's coming to watch me too. He always comes and watches me. He's been there from the start. He was my first ever sponsor. And all these people are great, and they definitely drive you on. So they'll spend their money like that. The Bellator tickets are real cheap, and they're going to spend that money, and you're super grateful for that. Like,
what is the Bellator tickets? Is it like 30, it's 35, 45, something like that?
35, 75, 100, 125, but maybe it'd be different to him because it's Euros.
It works out £125 for the cage side. So it's probably the exact same.
It's pretty self-explanatory, a cheaper ticket. The furthest away is the cheapest.
Let me address this shit. So you put a picture up, put a poster, fight poster, you've got the date on it, you've got the prices on it. You still got these idiots. I'm sorry if I call you.
Oh,
right.
This is brilliant. Is
when is the fight? Right? Fucking look at the date on the poster. How much are the tickets? Look at the fucking the bio. It says all that. What does 125 get you? What do you think 125 gets you? Does it get you in the fucking bleachers? 125 is cage side. Where is it? It says Newcastle beside it. Enough with the stupid questions.
What arena is it in? You're like, it's got three arena right at the very top.
Honestly, it's somebody, like, if you're going to buy tickets, and I'm talking for Chris as well, don't waste our time with stupid questions. Fucking look at the poster.
So basically just say £55, two, I'll give you the cash.
So what does that get me? Like,
I was loving it.
You get a wee,
you're not getting a drink brought to you, you know what I mean?
You get a wee cuddle when he's walking out, that's what you get for 55.
I was loving it, man. I was on the website looking at the events, and I clicked on it, and I was on the Bellator app. I was like, I've made it. I'm on the app.
At least they put your right picture up. Good job.
Didn't they put my picture up? I don't know.
I'm a blank face. Wait till you get your photo shoot.
The wee silhouette.
I'll see if I can find it. I'm just like this wee plain face dude. Where is it?
Oh no, they've put a picture of Bungie up for Chris Duncan there.
No, that's Paul Craig.
I'm my name, I know. Like, you need to unlock us, dude. You need to get to unlock me.
And, and I'm no 5'9", I'm 5'10 and a half.
I think sometimes with the heights and all that, they just have a guesstimate. I think he looks about 5'9", 5'10.
Aye, just wing it. Aye. Just wing it. Stocky.
With my high heels on.
Tom said it wasn't him, you dafties.
What's that Shaggy song? How's that go again? It wasn't me.
Sing it, James.
No, we want to try and have a couple of listeners at least.
There's Nathaniel back.
Oh fuck, here we go, it's kicking off.
But I would not be up at 266, we can combine up to 268.
Mate, I'm saying with Bellator, you fucking nugget. Like, get in contact with him if you want your ass whipped again. I fucking wiped you out in like 2 minutes or something like that, man. I mean, give me a head piece. Do you understand that?
He's using Google Translate, you just said, I ain't bother, I'll take a fight.
Por favor.
Oh man.
Bevy GB's asking, is the film crew get the night off?
Nah, they're in one of the other rooms filming somebody else.
Is that where the banging is?
It's a secret project. Aye,
that's the ghosts in here.
I'm not getting them to Sunday now or something. So, aye, films.
So,
I've done a film for a couple of days.
This is a follow up to obviously the first talk that they've done.
Similar, like the story for where I'm fae and my family and. This has got to be just a journey, like my first Bellator fight. So it's just a long. The first documentary was for their Stirling University. It was 10 minutes. This one's for the BBC. It's like 35 minutes. So it's got to be more detailed. Some of the shots I've got already, like underwater swimming, jogging with drones and stuff like that. It's pretty cool, man. Some of the footage is quite impressive. So it'll be good when they put it all together, and hopefully I'm at the end of it smashing some cunt.
And that'll be as good.
Unless it's going to be like the first Rocky. Me tune in for a second, man.
Nah, it's good as well, because I'm assuming that this is, they're doing this as well for the new BBC Scotland.
Aye, it's quite weird in March, I think, the new channel.
So it should be good, man. It's good for me, you know. I guess you're there. It's good for you.
Bellator's going to be great for the UK fighters and that, man. Like,
if
we get contracts and that, we'll focus on fighting. And if we can focus on fighting, that's going to bring our skill level up way quicker than usual. You know, we don't need to work in that. You know what I mean? If we get these contracts, we'll no need to work. So, I think it's like a kind of knight in shining armour for Scottish MMA, definitely.
Personally, I'm just hoping it gets more media involved. Because there's not enough media involved, especially covering Scotland, especially just like, not so much the regional scene up for you guys going through it as well. It'd be nice to see a bit more mainstream coverage in the UK.
Definitely, it should be. It's like, we've not really got a national sport, have we? And get that MMA going, I think that would be good.
Is it curling?
Are we?
Aye.
Oh, God. It's pretty icy, like.
sheep shearing, you know, a champion at that?
I won a couple of junior competitions. Do you ever
shit talk your opponents when you're doing the shearing?
Shit talk the sheep.
Slip a digit.
Jody, I had news asking, who's the coolest bad guy, the Predator or the Creeper from Jeepers Creepers?
Oh, that's a tough one. That's a good question, Jody, my man. I like the Creeper, but the last Jeepers Creepers was fucking dreadful. That showed me right to DVD and I bought it, man. I'll probably say Predator. Predator 1, you know what I mean? Can't go wrong with Predator 1.
Old Jean-Claude Van Damme played the Predator for a bit, didn't he?
Did he?
Did you know that? He was a 4A done kickboxer. He was a guy in the Predator suit.
I
googled that story and then he got another film offer, so he went off set and went and done that, and I think that film was Kickboxer. He was a dude in the Predator.
I've never seen Kickboxer.
What?
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus Christ, man.
I didn't watch that much telly, like.
But that's his questions we need to ask before we get guests on. Have you seen Kickboxer, at least?
25. I probably should have watched it.
What age would you have given my buy at there?
About 18, 19.
You're not
18,
19.
Oh,
come on.
Because there's a wee guy I know, and he's like 19. He's sending, have you seen, like, what was it? Borat. And I'm like, I used to watch that when I was a schoolman.
Borat. Bruno. Did you
see that? I was listening to Rogan, and he was saying on it with Theo Vaughan what's the name of that new programme that Sacha Baron Cohen done? America. Do you know there was something on it they did in the air? It was something they done in Vegas, but they actually think they discovered an actual paedophile ring in Vegas, so they didn't air it, and they sent all the information to the police earlier, because I think he was playing a billionaire character sort of thing.
He got that much deep undercover, he fucking...
And I think it's basically he's in demanding things now, obviously, to see what they would say, and I think maybe just been like, we can get them, aye.
Jesus.
What age?
You see the bit when he's talking to I don't even know what sort of guy he was talking to, and then he got the guy believing that he was going to give like 4-year-olds handguns and
that guy was like the president of the American Gun Association or something like that.
You see the way he made the politician bud shave her pubes, not that?
It's fucking mental, man.
He's
so cringy, but it's funny, man.
It's the Borat one, he's like, this is where we go to the doctors, but in Kazakhstan, so we just smoke little boys' pubes and all that. You're like, what? Where did that come from?
I like the one in Borat when he's sitting at the table and he's like, oh, your wife, very nice. Your wife, very nice. Yeah. The husband's just pure like...
He's married to Isla Fisher, she's an absolute smoke.
Yeah, she is. She was...
He's a mad weirdo.
I don't think he's like that. You've
got to be no right to the deal with that, man.
But some of the stuff he does, I mean, see that scene at the end of Borat when he's chasing that fat guy about in the scud and that? That Bruno one.
Did he not get a batter for that? Because he obviously was in like a mad religion community and they were chasing him, like properly actually chasing him.
I reckon he's caught a few beatings for that one.
He's got the one when he's in the wilderness with the guys, and he's like, the bear stole my tent, and all that's left me was this condom. He's in the buff. The guy's like, get out.
He's quality, man. He's funny.
Nathaniel just gave us the three laughing emojis.
This guy's ruining this.
He's trying.
Right.
I remember we popped the wee clip of me just melting him with a big knee and mush and then folding like a deck chair.
And
Christopher Andrew said he heard Alex Salmon's playing the Predator on the next one.
Christopher Andrew, for you, my man, that was a good one.
Him or Scotty T.
what was the deal there with that? I don't know who he is, to be honest.
He just picked up because I was arguing with Aaron. He caught me a nonce and all that, and we kind of went back and forth.
Is he not about 35 or 36 or something like that?
He's still winching 12-year-olds.
You know I mean? Jumps about taking lines and trying to fucking prowl on wee underage lassies.
That's alright when you're 18, but he's...
Well, I don't know about the underage lassies, but when you're 18.
He's got 2 million followers or something. 2 million followers, and he was trying to slag me. Put up an old video on one of my fights I lost a few years back.
Aye.
Getting choked out. And he was like, look at your tapping and all that. And I got like 15 likes. And he's like, 2 million followers. And I put up just a reply and I got like 1,000. I'm like, what does that say about your followers? I mean, you're just buying them or they don't even fucking like you.
I've heard that they just stand in their booth or whatever and they actually point to lassies and security goes and picks the lassies and said, do you want to come up and stand with the crew? And then the lassies go up like, loving it because they're in VIP and they're giving them Grey Goose and that, filming for roofies and all that.
Oh, that's what you are, Scotty T.
Club. But we'll see if we've got any more questions.
Paddy Patterson just says knock the quiff right off him, Bungie. That's it.
What's wrong with a quiff like?
I've got a cow's lick, I know, man.
Aye, man, you're good company.
Now, that's all for the questions now.
Right, finished. So aye, this is almost like a kind of, this is the first really fight orientated one we've sort of done in it. But it's kind of a Bellator special, this as well.
Yep.
And obviously, Chris will be, he'll be back on with us again on Tuesday. Different format.
We'll get Chris back on after his fight and stuff like that.
We can eat some Jaffa cakes.
Cheesecake.
What was it, 17?
17 in a minute.
17, that's easy.
The Guinness World Record is 17 in a minute.
I'm sure it's 17, mate.
I deep throat the shit out of these fucking Jaffa cakes.
Just sculpt them.
One at a time, aye.
Can you have any water, no?
No, any water.
All right.
So you've got to go boom, boom.
Small?
It doesn't seem that.
See, I think...
That is murder. That's just dry.
It's like chewing the candy sandal.
If once you two have had your fights, we'll get them in.
I think Jaffa cakes are not quite spongy and dry underneath, though.
Aye.
But full of spongy goodness.
Aye, the first one.
A wee bit of jelly in between.
Wait till you get to the 14th one.
I used to take them after a weigh-in. John Collins used to always tell me to take Jaffa cakes. And I actually nearly shat myself. Followed through and...
I shat myself.
Ross Johnson. Ross Johnson drew me a weigh-in. And I got this coconut water and ate all the Jaffa cakes, man. He had his new Audi. And I swear to God, I think I followed through in his chair, man. I was in these wee white pants and I was like, I think that was that a fart? I don't know. And he's like, is this a new motor? He's like, aye, how was that? Oh, nothing. So, sorry about that, Ross.
He's in that core going, I just cannot get this fucking smell.
So that was John Collins' fault. Told me all the Jaffa cakes because it stores the weight or something. So that's that. I beat the Guinness record with fucking coconut water.
Oh.
And I followed through.
That happened to me at SFC, man. You know that McKinney boy I fought?
Aye.
I was, I weighed in, fine, drunk the water, went away home, ordered sushi. So I picked up the sushi in the way home and I ate it. It was great. I ate a full lot, smashed a full lot. Woke up in the morning, next morning, I was like, I'm feeling a bit dodgy, man. I was like, fuck. And I thought, it's the nerves, I'll try and be sick in the toilet. So, because I used to be sick all the time before rugby and that. And
aye.
I thought it was just that. Got to the rules meeting and then Callad was talking about the rules meeting and I was like, I want to go to the toilet. And it was just projectile right at my arse. It was
spraying up the wall.
Fucking atrocious. It got to the stage, right, I was lying in the double bed in the hotel, right, and I had tissues at the side of the bed and I'm like lying and then all of a sudden I'd be like, I need to go to the toilet. I like, grabbed the tissues and shoved it against my arse. I had to run to the toilet. And Adam was in the shower and he's like talking to me and I'm like standing and I'm just shite myself in the shower.
Oh my God, man.
and then
a paint job.
And then I hit McKinney with a low kick and it hit me on the right hand and I shat myself. He landed on top of me. I was like, shit myself. And then Adam at the end of the fight, he's like, you all right? I was like, aye, fine. And he's like, How you feeling now? I was like, I shat myself. All the boys, the grip house and that were in the back and I'd been taking my trousers off. I was trying to hide them because it does shite in my cup and all that. Like, fuck's sake. Right on the stair. I was lying in my bed.
So you want to be a fighter? Anybody that's watching this, you want to be a fighter?
I think there's a lesson in there. Don't fucking eat raw fish.
Or Jaffa cakes.
So nae raw fish, nae Jaffa cakes. And don't mix coconut water with any of them.
Oh, you'll just piss out your ass. Or spray paint.
Oh, it was bad crack. Like, fucking nae control. It was nae control.
I wonder how much weight you lost after that.
I weighed in it. That was a catch weight fight because McKinley said he couldn't make 70. So I fought at 74. I fought God knows what weight I would have lost because I went through about 20 packets of Imodium. Like, my mate Logan had to run down to the shop and he didn't know what Imodium was and he ran in the shop and he's like, anybody got any Imodium? And he came out the shop and obviously gave me it and I weighed myself the next day and I was 72. So I'd weighed it at 74 and then obviously I was 72
so
the next
went
day.
So you've been doing rather
not? That was bad, like, bad crack.
Right, I've got a few questions for you. Just right. Fire in, right? So, just 10.
Just random questions. So
right.
Just about 10.
Right, so start off with favourite film.
My favourite film.
You can answer these as well, James.
Right.
Oh, I try to think about that. Favourite film. I actually watched that Bohemian Rhapsody film the other day. That was pretty good.
Oh, wait, that's your favourite.
What's this
new? That can't be your favourite. Your all-time favourite.
All-time favourite, right.
I'll tell you what, I'll kick it. American History X for me.
That's a good film. I like that.
Fuck, I don't know what mine is.
You
like.
Got a mic this time, though? No? What's yours?
That's a different
come on, Frankie.
Put me on the spot there.
Kickboxer.
Right, we'll go Bohemian, right. Favourite song of all time.
Lose Yourself.
Guns N' Roses, Live and Let Die.
Oh, nice, man. So you can't answer
I'll say Queen
one.
Bohemian Rhapsody, that. That's a good one.
You can't answer this one, James. What's been your favourite fight today?
My favourite fight? For the
amateur
one.
And professional. Even your K1 days as well, if you can remember.
Probably against Kieran Connor when I fought him. I felt like I was on fire, that I felt unstoppable, eh?
That was
SFC. That was my third third amateur fight. I felt like everything. That was probably the flip. That was me. Like, I've decided, like, that was what I wanted today. I was like, aye. I felt everything kind of come together, and you know that way you just get in. And I felt like I was in a video game. It was just like everything was perfect. Aye.
Well, wait, I can answer that. 1993 against Derek and Craig Hamilton in the back bedroom. That was my favourite one.
I know. Second, you know, I had a fight. A good fight in school.
What's that?
My fight finished with a guillotine choke against the cage.
Guillotine, nice. Favourite holiday destination? Where'd you like going, or where's your best place you've been?
The best place I went on holiday with my girlfriend last in Tenerife. It's just like kind of that, the kind of company and all that. It was good,
nice, relaxed.
Didn't need to try very hard. We just got up when we needed to. Went and got some good food. That was best holiday I've had to date for sure.
Lovely, Jimmy.
Funnily enough, the same place. We go for our honeymoon to a hotel called the Mary Lanza, and I always like going back here because it's just a nice place. It's out the way. I love Tenerife.
Sweet. Favourite fighter, past or present?
Donald Cerrone.
Cerrone.
Oh, this is a definitive
one. Cunt.
No, I've got to say Michael Bisping. It's the first fighter I really, really loved.
I love Bisping.
He's the fighter's fighter.
I love him.
He's the USADA fighter.
Do you know what it is with Bisping as well? It's his story. It's a story of just getting knocked down constantly and just no gain up. And eventually, my favourite moment ever in MMA was Bisping winning the title.
Aye, definitely.
I think he deserved that.
Bisping.
Because, like, obviously, like, you can't put, like, steroids on anybody, you know what I mean? But, like, I feel that he was always the guy that was doing the right thing, and then he got his title.
It's the toughness in the heart as well. That Anderson Silva fight, what he took in that fight, and then to come back and win that fight against Anderson Silva, see when they dropped the gum shield and Anderson absolutely ruined his face. Bisping's him.
His face looked like a punch lasagna.
Aye.
It was mild, eh?
It was, man.
Is there anybody you would like to fight? Anywhere, any promotion, like, you would love to get in the cage with?
I'd love to fight Donald Cerrone.
Aye.
It's just the guy I'd love to fight. I don't know if that's just the kind of the primal part in me, but I'd love to fight that guy. Not like I'd fight that guy.
Aye.
It's just like your role model is. It's just it would be a privilege and it'd be an honour.
It's just to
him.
See what it's like, just being in there with him. Aye, to see, aye. Just to aye.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Is there
any country that you would love to fight in?
America. Las Vegas.
Apart from fighting, what other sports do you like or do you follow?
I used to play a bit of rugby. I don't really follow it much. What other sports? That would probably be about it. That and boxing. I quite like boxing and kickboxing and stuff like that. I watch Glory a lot.
Perfect. That's us.
Boom.
Brilliant.
So that's a quick fire questions.
They'll change. Jim Miller.
I bet in that.
Change every guest because they were more like for you.
But I
like Jim Miller. I used to love Rampage Jackson, but he's fucking.
Oh, my bird just said it was Lanzarote, not Tenerife. Whoopsie!
That's a guy hang on.
See, to be fair,
you know what I mean.
Lanzarote and Tenerife.
Was a company he enjoyed.
So It wasn't the holiday. It was a company.
There you go. But Lanzarote and Tenerife, easy to get mixed up.
I forgot the last one. What is your favourite meal? Oh. Can be on your diet or can be on your diet.
Sushi followed by Jaffa cakes.
Every day I love porridge when I'm on my fight camp. I've got like porridge and like that's like my diet one. But like, what's it? Five Guys. That is my Five Guys. Five Guys, man. That
like
is
a Five Guys myself.
And the sushi, I like sushi too. But
I need to.
Jimmy goes, take it away.
Oh, my favourite meal. My favourite meal is handmade carbonara.
Pasta.
Aye, handmade carbonara. It's got to be made a certain way, but none of this fire and eggs and that push in. White
that's
wine.
An authentic way, James.
What's that?
Would you like? That's authentic eggs and all that.
Well, the eggs just to thicken up, listen, mate.
Ken, let's get cheesy pasta. Have you had cheesy pasta?
Aye, no, I can't.
The red one.
Me and my girlfriend got the last time
the craft
got
one, the blue one.
Cut it with the scissors and thought it was perfect. It was brilliant.
See, I think cheesy pasta, I used to like cheesy pasta, make it, but then I probably grate a bit of full block of red cheese and fire that in as well.
Shit, I love it now. Brown toast, scrambled egg or boiled eggs with a wee bit of salmon on the top.
That's deadly.
If you're not cutting weight, you're not doing anything, and somebody sits you down and says, right, any meal, what would you go for? What would be the one?
Probably a big pizza for me.
What would you get on it?
I think that your big Domino's, I'll see pizzas.
See, I prefer pizzas out the Indians.
I need a curry pizza.
Spicy chicken
out
the Indians.
Aye.
Domino's
is
the like the meat feast.
Aye.
Or that one.
The one I'm about, they curry pizzas and you get like a full curry, then they put the cheese on it on a pizza.
Stop.
Brilliant.
Oh. I was going to say, I like a chicken tikka
chasney
pizza.
Aye, they're good. I got that Lambuna one. That was brilliant, I know.
I got a pizza after this.
I used to write down all my things on my notes on my phone. And then like buy them all afterwards and just make myself vomit. I used to buy them all. It used to be like burgers and chips and fucking Jaffa cakes and whatever it is.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever ate straight after you've done your weight cut? Oh. What's the weirdest thing you've ever ate right after a weight cut?
Yeah, I'll go first because I've got one. I fought in Bathgate at a few Room at the Top shows and the Fighter High shows. Me and my teammate Kev did mine. We weighed in right in the venue, and outside the venue was a fucking burger van. I'm no shit. Two hot dogs, two cheeseburgers directly after it, and we're just sitting there like that's before we're taking serious, obviously. So a burger van out the side the weigh-in centre, boom, two hot dogs, two burgers, dreadful.
I've always been pretty good. Like after the fight, I'm pretty like after the weigh-in, I'm pretty strategic. But I've always been like, especially after that bad incident, but.
Shit gate, we'll call it.
Welcome to the heavens, but after one of my fights, I made French toast, peanut butter, and Nutella. Oh yeah, bastard! Good, that was deadly. Oh,
kid, you two are going to start salivating a minute. Oh, see. Fuck. See that Room at the Top? I mean, I used to go to there when I was younger. I used to go to there when I was younger. I mean, my mate got through to Room at the Top. Big Robert Naughty, shout out Naughty. He got fucked out for having, I think he had 3 fivers in his pocket, and they're like, I accused him of being a drug dealer. Back then, the drugs were really, really cheap, by the way. I think Eckies were about £2.
Back then, I didn't know what MMA stands for, and I was jumping into fights left, right, centre. Now I know what it stands for. Burger van right outside. I remember me and Kev Devine just started. I'm sure he was on like chips and curry sauce. Did he fight a couple of us, know what I mean? That was my first ever like fights.
I went when I fought down in Darlington, I weighed in and I have all my meals and all my shakes and that ready for rehydrating and that. And I walked past Burger King and my opponents, and Burger King smashed into his fries. I was like, "You're gonna have a bad day tomorrow, son. Bad day tomorrow."
Is that yeah,
straight through.
How much better does food taste after a weight cut though?
Oh, water and just water, man.
It's water. You would kill. Oh,
aye.
I seen. I watched a documentary and the guy talks about. He feels bad like every time he's left a little bit of water in the bottom of my glass. He's like, I'll always drink that bit of water now and all that. I'm like, I feel your pain, my man. I feel your pain.
I legit know sit in a sauna or go in a bath like weeks and weeks and weeks after a fight.
Aye.
Through weight cuts.
Just because it's like post traumatic stress with a weight cut. And they're having flashbacks and that.
It's a unique sport for that fucking thing because you need to be pro strength and conditioning, pro fighting. Pro weight cut is fucking diabolical.
See,
toughest sport in the world.
I think the downside as well is you're fighting in the biggest organisations in the world, and if you copy it across to like FITBA, it's a disparity in money, isn't it? It's just insane that you're at the professional athletes at the highest level in mixed martial arts are still scraping by, but.
Like the UK especially, like FITBA, it's just a FITBA country.
Aye, it's why, even up in Scotland, it's why it's so hard for MMA to break through, just because FITBA's that ingrained into the culture, but it's making the right steps. It's just got to take a long time, and you've got to consider, I guess, how long MMA's
like,
been about.
25-year-old or something, not me, Bill.
Aye.
Technically, not me, obviously, fighting for it, but
aye.
It's the fastest growing sport in the world, and it's gone in the right places anyway, especially in Scotland, I think it's going rapidly now.
Aye, so talent coming through, like just last year, obviously, like Ross Houston doing what he's done. How big is Ross? I see when the first time I met Ross, I was like, how the fuck are you, mate? Where Lance,
that's bad, man. He's a big boy, like.
Aye, he's. You for him? Aye, because they did tell me you like to always send him that picture. I think you send it on his birthday all the time, don't you?
He's
like
on his back.
I've got a belt and a picture. I didn't send it to him. When we came up and trained with you, I got a belt and I see if I can find it.
One of the nicest guys as well, Big Ross, isn't he?
Big Curls will probably be watching this, world champ.
Let me see if I can find it.
Though. I must say as well, Ross Houston, pro fighter of the year in 2018 for Scotland.
Let me see if I can find this picture. Man, this is a fucking builder.
Back to fucking Scotland.
Just what does it take? I mean, you've got obviously Paul and Ross.
I think they could bring Bellator to Scotland, so why no fucking Cage?
That was his last fight.
can we show that to the camera?
When he got rocked, I sent it to him.
Hey, sorry, Ross. Sorry, but I'll actually hang your light us, Ross, if you don't see that. There you go, Ross.
That was a fucking war, man.
That was a brilliant
fight.
Me and my girlfriend were watching it, man, because I was rooting for Ross, man. He's fucking genuine guy.
Aye.
Fights like fuck and just gets in and does his job and we were rooting for him that night, and what a fight, man. He dominated the fight, and then he got clocked with that, and he showed so much heart coming back after that. It's like, just sums him up in one day. Just an absolute belter.
Yeah,
summed it right up.
When I was
bumped into Dan Tillop at my
mouth. Aye, big Tillop. Two of them. See, when they talk about how big Till is as well, when he's next to Houston, you're like, oh, just shows you how big Ross is.
Exactly, aye.
That's another thing. Till and Masvidal in London.
Oh, that's a. Do you know what? See, I'll give the UFC one thing. I think they've kind of let the UK crowds down sometimes with cards, but this card, it looks like they've delivered.
Gunnar and Leon Edwards, that'll be a good scrap.
Aye. Gunnar, Leon, and obviously Till and Masvidal.
I think we've got.
Put something on social media earlier today, but I don't know.
That's a note. I thought it was, but it's a note. That's the one.
Did he not put above it like let's do this again or something like that? I don't know what's happening there.
The
I kind of thought Paul would maybe be on that one.
That's, I think that's what they told him, but then they've offered him Philadelphia. What you gonna do, man?
Funny day, man, isn't it? You just
run up the Rocky Stairs.
It'd be nice to see all the Scottish guys. Aye, no one cared, but
we go to London. So
no, I hate London. I went to it was good the last one. Don't get me wrong.
Aye, that was one of the best.
I actually hate London as a
backs ever.
Aye, London. I think actually, cracking me. I mean, we went Manchester's the last. I went to USC Glasgow and I went to one in Manchester, but I ended up not having tickets for it. So we just, because I think we saw Whiteford, and we saw Rogan, and then obviously you were ready to make your. Can you remember the advice Chael Sonnen gave you?
I did, actually. Keep my hands up, my chin down.
Aye.
My pro debut.
Aye. That's what it is. Sound advice, though.
Hands up, your chin down, brother.
Sound advice.
Scott Drummond saying Prague looks a good card.
Sell his tickets,
obviously. Oh, is that Scott?
Ah, yeah, Prague crowd's meant to be quality.
Where is that? It's like a heavyweight, like Voltage or something at the minute. Yeah, that one got announced all day.
Blankovic.
Right, so I think are we getting any last questions?
Just Nathaniels.
This fucking guy.
He's been nice. He says, what did they say?
I've already booked a flight, that's why he's been nice.
Joking up. He's saying, joking apart, good luck, Chris. I believe you'll go far in the event.
He just tried
shit.
That.
Smell of shite for your dad.
cheers, Nathaniel, my man.
So, aye, that's.
I think you've got a bit of bipolar going on, though.
he's got somebody else writing for him. But, I think, that's a successful episode 4.
I think so.
Episode 4, so we're trying to get these out to you as regularly as we can, but obviously we'll be as consistent. Obviously, Chris has got a bit of a scrap down south.
Apologise.
We'll get more content out to you, obviously. Thanks very much for coming in, Mr. Duncan.
That was good. I enjoyed it. That was good crack. And make sure I'm coming down for the Jaffa Cakes.
Aye, don't worry. We'll get the Jaffa Cake Challenge set up. Like I say, we'll obviously set some sort of charity thing up for people to donate to Chris's house, and we'll see if we can get some world record breakers in here.
Good luck with Bellator Dublin and your camp, the rest of your camp.
Cheers, mate. Perfect. You too, man. You too.
And as always, guys, thanks very much for tuning in. Let's see, every time we've got shows, get those comments in, let us know what you're thinking, get your questions in, and of course, like us, follow us, share us.
Subscribe. Click on the link below.
But thanks very much, guys. Thanks for tuning in.